This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, I'm very glad to be here at the Slot Foundation, this very special institution for contemporary art and culture. On the occasion of an exhibition of young video contemporary artists from our collection, the Young Video Artists. As you know, we will present the Theatre of Transparency of Oswaldo Rodenberg next spring at our venues in Graz, in the Neue Galerie, in a very special place, in a very special space. It's the Park Mirror Hall of the Neue Galerie. You see it here. In this place, we will have Oswaldo's work next year. For this reason, I would like to show you some pictures of our museum, which is situated in a baroque palace in the center of Graz. Especially, I want to show you views of the Mirror Hall and a second, very special place, the yard, with artistic interventions and installations, ranging from, among others, like Italian-American Rudolf Stingl and Felix González Torres, Erwin Wurm from Austria, now a real superstar, to Olafur Eliasson. Do you remember the worldwide sensation of Olafur Eliasson's Waterfall installation in New York this year? What you see here in these photographs is another waterfall of Olafur in the yard of the Neue Galerie in Graz in the year 2000. How does it come that the Neue Galerie showed the waterfall 8 years before New York? The Neue Galerie presented Eliasson for the first time in 1996 in a group show with the title Remote Connections in the Mirror Hall of the Neue Galerie. This show was curated by Amnon Barzel, the former director of the Pecci Museum in Firenze in Italy, and later then director of the Jewish Museum in Berlin. 4 years later, we gave him, Olafur, the first museum show, even as it later traveled in 2001 to the Center for Art and Media Technology in Germany, because Peter Weibel, our chief curator, is also the director of the ZKM in Karlsruhe. In the 1990s, you could see major exhibitions of artists in our museum years before you saw them in London, Paris, New York, before they became famous. This happened with Sylvie Fleury, Rudolf Stingl in 1994, Sylvie Fleury from Switzerland in 1993, like also from Switzerland, Pippi Lotti-Rist in 1995, William Kentridge from South Africa in 1998, Olafur Eliasson in 2000, Jordan Crandall from New York, we had in a show in 2000, and Erwin Wurm from Austria, Vienna, in 2001. Here are some examples. This is the installation in the Mirror Hall with Felix González Torres and Rudolf Stingl, Sylvie Fleury, in the yard, Nancy Rubens. This was in 2000. This sculpture we have now in Graz, in our sculpture garden, a little bit outside near the airport from Graz. The Italian artist Aldo Bondino. This work is called Jugendstilo. Petra Meitz, an Austrian artist, with an installation. And in the yard, another Austrian, Hans Kuppelwieser. Franz West and Pistoletto. Peter Fendt from New York. He was our first artist in residence in 1992. He lived for a year in Graz. The installation Dieter Roth and Ingrid Wiener from this year. But not only. Outstanding artists had their first museum show in Graz. Whole art movements have been presented here for the first time, such as context art in 1993, with American contributions of Mark Dian, Peter Fendt, Andrea Fraser, René Green, or Louis Lawler. Pittura in media, painting in the 90s, with American contributions of David Reed, Sue Williams, Jessica Stockholder, Ellen McCallum, Matt Mullican, or the show Postmedia Condition from 2005, with three generations of video artists. Also our exhibition Beyond Art from 1997 on Austrian and Hungarian artists and scientists offered many connections to the United States, as so many Jewish scientists and artists had to escape from Austria and Hungary because of the National Socialist persecution and murder. How is this possible? Said a small museum with about 20 employees, a modest budget, about 300 euro a year, paid half by the government of Syria and half by Vienna. And in a small city like Graz, with 250 inhabitants, can get so often at the front of research. My answer is because the Neue Galerie is a discursive museum. What is a discursive museum? In the 1990s, Peter Weibel came on board of the Neue Galerie, and together with him, we redefined our position. And what was the approach? I'm following here Peter Weibel's diagnosis of the situation of art and culture in our society. Our society is aggressively dominated by consumerism, entertainment, and spectacle. Guy Debord is right. Our society is a society of the spectacle. This he wrote in 1967. The claim of the German mathematician David Hilbert, expressed in 1900 in Paris at the Conference on Mathematics, "We want to know and we will know," has vanished with him into his grave, where in fact it is written on his tombstone. Today the masses say, "We want to be entertained and we will be entertained." The mass media are the medium of this entertainment. If art wants to get in the focus of attention of the mass media and must obey their laws of entertainment, the triumph of pop art was precisely based on this celebration of consumerism, celebrity, and star system. Andy Warhol painted better. He silk screened the celebrities and the photographs of the mass media, and in exchange, the celebrities and mass media loved him and his successors like Damien Hirst or Jeff Koons. On the other side, the market, the art market, and its price system also needs stars and commodities that deserve high prices. The market needs stars like the mass media to make money. Both the market and the mass media have in common a Darwinian principle of selection to create stars. The mass media want to win the attention of the masses and to make money. Stars produce attention, even a cult. Therefore, the mass media create and love stars. The market needs stars to make money too. Therefore, they look old. The museum, as we see, is between the market and the mass media. It can follow their logic to attract the attention of the masses by showing art stars, so-called blockbuster exhibition, and the museum can show stars of the art market. Usually, they are the same. Stars of the art market are also stars of the mass media, from Van Gogh to Picasso. Therefore, some museums follow the logic of the market and the mass media and just show artists like Van Gogh, and so on, and like also in the contemporary art. This is, for example, Picasso and Van Gogh, and we have this in Austria, in Vienna. You have every month a new blockbuster show. And we in Graz, we are against. It's always the same names. But the question arises, why do we need museums if they show the same, like the mass media and the market? The Neue Galerie, our museum, does not follow the logic of the art market and the mass media. The museum has its own position in opposition to the mass media and the market. We follow the logic of the art and we show the wealth of art history. We refuse the selection of attention that forgets or suppresses so many wonderful artists. We believe in the possibility of art history as a science. Therefore, we very often show unknown, forgotten, international and national artists like Gego and Ruth Vollmer, the emigrants from Germany in the 30s. New York painters of the 60s and 70s, last year we had this exhibition curated by Kelsey Siegel from New York and David Reed. And some of the computer pioneers like the Austrian Oscar Beckmann, very unknown. Then the op art and sound poetry artists like Lily Greenham, although she was immigrated from London, and so on. And very often, we show emerging young artists to support them. We understand the museum as a support system for the art and the artists. In order to preserve and save artworks, we collect them and exhibit them, and we help to produce artworks. We organize scientific theoretical conferences and symposia, not only about art, but also about economics, trade, philosophy, cultural sciences, politics. We showed in the last few years large exhibitions, every with combined by books and catalogs, on fair and unfair trade, or on the phenomenon of slums. We did a show titled Mars, Art and War in 2003, and another one, Phantom of Desire, Visions of Masochism in the Art, all of them with international and Austrian artists and theorists. You see, we do something different than the market and the mass media. Because of its theoretical practice, we speak of a discursive museum that is in opposition to the market and the media, trying to give back the museum the power of art. This is the title of the new book by Boris Groys, the Russian German philosopher. He's working in Karlsruhe together with Peter Weibel. I have mentioned our exhibition, Post-Media Condition. In this exhibition, it was in Madrid and in Graz, we showed video positions of three generations of Austrian artists. Some of the younger generation you will see now here in this show at the Sloat Foundation. The curator, my colleague Günther Holler-Schuster, will tell you more about this. Thank you for your attention.
You need that? Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome here at the Sloat Foundation in Philadelphia. We are very proud and honored to be here in this special place. We want to, and I especially want to thank in behalf of the artists, of these many artists presented here in this show, for this opportunity to show this fresh and young work here in this context. Thank you very much, Aaron. Thank you very much, Osvaldo. Thank you very much, Jean-Michel, for treating us this way, so wonderful, and for giving us this opportunity to be with you tonight and to show this wonderful in this wonderful institution. Philadelphia can be proud of it. When we followed the discussion around the result of the election of the new president of the United States, this title here, this title of the show, Another Tomorrow, gets a little bit political in a way, let me say this. And We have great hope, not only in the U.S., also in Europe and in the rest of the world, that this tomorrow will be a better tomorrow and will be, of course, another tomorrow, but a much better tomorrow. Let me speak a little bit about video art. Let me speak a little bit about the show here, Another Tomorrow. I ask to apologize my English, and therefore I keep on reading. This show here is a part of the collection of the Neue Galerie. It is a part of the video collection of the Neue Galerie. We have about 500 video installations and single videos. And we are preparing a show which will open in February next year, beginning of next year, where we can show highlights of this exhibition. And I will tell you also why it is so special. It goes back to the early 70s, late 60s, which is special for an institution like the Neue Galerie in Graz. The exhibition Another Tomorrow, Young Video Art from the Collection of the Neue Galerie Graz am Landesmuseum Joanneum. This is the complete title of that museum. The name at the Slot Foundation in Philadelphia is an attempt by the Neue Galerie to provide a key outline covering an important segment of its extensive video collection. The young and very youngest position of Austrian video art have been brought together here in an exemplary summation of the work now being done in the field in this country. Moreover, since the Neue Galerie collection is essentially aligned to an exhibition program, two focal exhibitions ought to be mentioned in this context that represent a kind of, in parentheses, both in terms of content and formal discussion. One of these was the first ever extensive international video art exhibition, Audiovisuelle Botschaften, Audiovisual Messages of 1973. You can see an installation shot here. It is an external place in Graz where the Neue Galerie used to show sometimes exhibition. It's in a park near the museum. It's a 50s building, and you can see the opening in that year 1973. Video works by people such as Bruce Nauman, William Wegman, Vito Acconci, or Robert Morris were seen for the first time in Austria back then. The other was Postmediale Condition. Christa Steinle mentioned it already, post-medium condition of 2005, 2006 with Peter Weibel and Christa Steinle as curators. This was shown both in Graz and, as Christa Steinle said, also in Madrid at the ARCO. Both of these events underscored the importance of new media for the Neue Galerie and its active participation in the development of taking place within this sector. In terms of its historic context, video technology was first regarded as an alternative to television, from whence and beginning with art, a critical instrumentation crossover was intended, with the target of devolve on different sectors of society. The Italian theorist Cillo Dorfles wrote in the catalogue to Audiovisuelle Botschaften in 1973, quote, "One of the most serious defects on TV medium is without doubt its unipolar nature. What is meant by this in circumstance that television transmissions, as they have been devised and implemented until the present time, have always gone in one direction only, from the transmitter to the receiver, and never the other way around. They offer no opportunity whatsoever for the viewer to counterattack, and they thus have the appearance of an imposition from above. This fact is sufficiently well known, but the danger resulting for the public from it has perhaps never been sufficiently accentuated." End of the quote. Over 30 years after this postulation and the efforts which followed on from it, the subsequent experience and the technological development phases have all been drawn together in the collective term post-medium, which in its turn was broached as the central theme of the exhibition, Postmediale Kondition. The curators of this exhibition took up their line from the celebrated essay by Rosalind Krauss. In A Voyage on the North Sea of 1999, with its programmatic subtitle, Art in the Age of the Post-Medium Condition, it became clear in this that artists today operate between various media, materials and function, adapting new production processes, mixing media properties, and creating new systems of reference as they do so. In this process, it is not one single medium alone that is dominant, but the media themselves influence and involve each other at a level of interconnectivity while simultaneously reflecting each other. This is mirrored again in the video art produced by the latest and younger generation. Scarcely a single one of the artists participating works exclusively with this medium. Among these people, it is much more a matter of interdisciplinarity processes, being a methodical principle, and they can also extend it, their practice, to fathom traditional categories such as painting, sculpture, literature, design, photography, equally with film, cinema, classical video art, expanded cinema, network art, or computer aesthetic. It is undoubtedly true, as can be seen here, that film, cinema, and TV continue to be the prime references and are extended into the general domain of the visual by means of the new technologies of the computer. Approaches to an analytical tendency entirely with the Austrian tradition of linguistic analysis or psychoanalysis can be seen in virtually all of the work presented in the exhibition here. Austrian media art has always taken up its own independent position with its socio-cultural, social, and media analytical thematic subjects. Global development in popular culture, cinema, TV, game aesthetics, game culture, with their significant influence on current expression in video art, naturally also have a place too. In contrast to the hopes of the 60s and 70s of the 20th century that video could play a role in developing cable TV as an alternative to standard television, the medium is dominant today by the ideology of virtually uncontrolled consumerism. The music channel MTV can be regarded as an example of this. What has become the obvious standard language of the video clip today is still questioning the syntax of the music moving image. How does the ear hear, and how does the eye hear, and how does the ear see? This process is distorted, however, by unlimited consumerism, by a seemingly endless production of images, together creating a spiraling demand for goods by promoting a lifestyle in which consumption is proclaimed as an end in itself. John G. Hannard termed this the ethic of excess. The aesthetic of the advertising clip provides vivid proof of this meant. Cinema and game culture have long been followers in the shadow here. This results in the effect that one's own personal perception mixes with the image provision of the media. A medial production of reality is what emerges. The sphere of influence does not, of course, remain only with TV, cinema, and game culture, but it extends to all possible technologies of image production, from the digital digital camera in the cell phone to the monitoring units set up in public space that are now eminently finding expression in contemporary video art, like here in this exhibition. What is happening on the one hand in the production of images has massive effects on the other hand among the recipients of them. While interactivity stood at the start of these considerations, infrontality was regarded as one of its main problems. The active part of the public today is very varied in its configuration. A democratization process has taken place, resulting on the one hand from the nature of the technical medium itself, firstly through photography, then video, finally from the digital virtual visionary worlds, while on the other, a significantly more special implementation of interactivity has emerged. One with Laurie Mulvey terms the possessive spectator. DVD technology and the expanded opportunities for remote control it delivers has seen to it that the cinematographic experience has lost its volatility. The narration can be fragmented at specific moments. The sequence and velocity of the images are no longer issues left in the hands of the professional cutter. The viewer now also shares the determining rights. An active state results from the fact that one now works with the images rather than over them. This has led in video art, a process that is clearly traceable in this exhibition, to intervention in visual effects, for example, in a ready cut film. The available is applied as material for further use. The fictional world changes in the consciousness in a relationship to the event before the film, which brings us back once more to the medial production of reality. The exhibition, Another Tomorrow, attempts to achieve insights into the mechanism of image perception against the background of this film. The separate positions speak for themselves by posing their own detailed questions. They are inseparable from the development of technological progress and are closely linked to the development of social power structures. This has found clear expressions in very recent times through the various strategies for dealing with the visual. While the exhibition Another Tomorrow makes formal reference to both TV, monitor presentation, and cinema with projections on a large scale, the individual positions extend far beyond this limiting framework and are more and more committed to the post-medium condition as described above. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the show. Thank you very much for coming out. Come again. You can easily spend 3 hours in that show without getting bored. Thank you very much to the Slot Foundation.